Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round 22 preview, and I'm just going to tell you, it's a massive show. I've got so much to cover. I've got six best bets on six different games in round 22. Really like the slate, and we have been on searing hot form, 4-0 last week on the best bets, 68% on best bets throughout 2021, 53 and 25. We won another mixed matchup, nothing new there, but that's 11 wins from the last 12 weeks. Also, 68% wins for the whole season on mixed matchups, which are odds never below $2. We got up as high as $3.50 on these. Remember, with the best bets, if you're winning these at 52.5%, that's a break even, and that's a 2.5% edge over the bookies, which you need to account for the fact that you're not getting $2 odds on the 50-50 markets. Now, if you look at anyone in Las Vegas or across the world who's selling picks or is a professional punter, they'll be thrilled to win 55% of the time long term. That's a 5% edge over the bookies as opposed to going 50-50, which anybody could do. So look at our edge, 68%, you're talking 7 times what you'd have an edge to break even, which is still impressive, or more than 3 times the edge of a pro punter. So that's been quite insane. The profit, if you're having 100 on each of these, is over 3,500. We also won the multi last week, thankfully, because we won every bet. So $8 multi got up with plus 7 units. And as I said in the recap where I, you know, rode the round, went all the way through and we had a bit of a celebration, but also talked about where we got lucky and where we can improve. I said, doesn't matter how well we've gone, you have to always gamble responsibly. The only reason you would be putting more on any of my best bets coming up is if you've built a bigger bankroll, and that's still the same percentage of your bankroll, a very responsible percentage that you're willing to risk on any given bet. But there's no guarantees, just because it feels sometimes like we're winning so much more often than we're losing. There's no guarantee for each and every bet. Anything can happen. And I'm going to jump straight into my best bets because I've got 6 to cover, including the highest line we've ever played before on the Tripod. Thursday night, best bet, Storm minus 23.5, $1.90 on sports bet. They play the Raiders at the Sunshine Coast. Each and every week, I talk to you guys about my feeling of the line in the Storm games, and I instinctively am saying these lines feel too high, but it's with good reason because the Storm have kept covering them. Well, this week when I looked at the line, I actually didn't think it was excessive, which made me then feel I probably got to be on them. And the great thing about playing the Storm any week is this attack is historically great. I think they are actually trying to break the record for most points scored in a season. And the good thing is you don't usually get backdoored with the Storm because they don't allow cheap points later. They've got this mentality. Bellamy just doesn't allow it. The fact as well that the Storm, of course, have kept winning. They've won 17 in a row. But last week, tight game with 20 to go, only won by 10. I say only. And 3 weeks ago, only beat the Cowboys by 4 or 6. So that's a couple of games in the last 3 where they didn't just dominate from start to finish. And that's what I think they'll do to the Raiders, who have actually won 4 of their last 5. But these were all close games, all important games. I think they could have been draining. And the truth is, while the Raiders are definitely in the finals hunt, they don't desperately need this one. I don't think they truly believe they can win this one. It could definitely be an exhale spot for the Raiders. So let's lay that massive number, minus 23.5, with the Melbourne Storm. Then moving to the next day, we're going to lay a massive number again. I've had success going to these uncharted waters and backing some big favourites when I think there's a lot of reasons why they should be comprehensively better, and it has worked this season, so we're going to keep doing it. I'm taking Penrith minus 18.5, take the $2 line on Ladbrokes and Neds, but otherwise $1.90 everywhere else as well against the Dragons. The one catch here, I don't know if Cleary's playing or not, so put it this way, if Cleary plays, awesome, then I feel even better. This is their best player coming back. If Cleary sits out another week, this line could drop a couple points, 2 or 3 points. But I will still feel okay about this bet because I think it's a great week to bet against the Dragons. I think they may be a spent commodity. If they had an all-in effort in them, it would have been last week. While Penrith has got back on track, the confidence from the win over the Roosters, but they will feel they didn't close that game out after being up 20-6 and allowing the Roosters to come back. So you got Dragons just playing for pride, where Penrith, I think, really want to find their best form because they have to be at their best form by week one of the finals, or they won't beat Souths, basically. They need to regather or re-find that form that they had in the first half of this season. Of course, there's still a couple of key players out for Penrith, but I think they've just got more than enough to dominate the Dragons, so I'll bet that they'll do that. Moving to Saturday, my next best bet is the Cowboys plus $4.50, $1.85 on Unibet. Next best available, $1.82 on 365. They host the Tigers up in Townsville. We want the Tigers to win that game, and I'll get into that, trust me. But what we want to happen and what's a good value bet this week are two totally different things. So we're going to keep them, you know, keep that to the side. And I just assess this game on its own merit. And I completely understand the Cowboys are a pretty poor footy side. And they have a few outs, namely Jason Taumalolo. In fact, the Cowboys have not won a game since May. But the thing is, they do generally still play better at home. They will be desperate to get a win against an opponent that's not too good for them, so they should be focused that they can win. The Tigers, we won our best bet on them last week, so I don't mind the way they're going right at the moment, but I just don't think the Tigers outclass the Cowboys. Therefore, I really believe this game will just be decided by who wants it more. It could go either way, and if I can get the underdog at home plus more than 4 points, I have to take that every time. Then later on Saturday night, I'm going to play Manly 13 plus against the Eels, which would be the same as minus 12 and a half, but the market is 13 plus available on Sportsbet and TopSport at $1.83. And it's just simply, we've got one team, they're clearly better, they're more confident, they're in better form. And the fact that Manly is actually off a loss, I like taking a good team that lost a game. They don't come in complacent. In fact, I feel they got a lot out of having to play to the standard of a Melbourne side to match Melbourne for an hour in that game. And while the Eels on paper might still look like a pretty good side that shouldn't lose 13 plus, it's just very clear to me, and I'll get more into it, that they're playing so far below their ability and they're reeling and they've lost Reid Marnie as well. Things are just going from bad to worse. So we've won best bets by landslides the last couple of weeks going against Para, Roosters a couple weeks ago, Souths last week. And you guys know I've actually been someone who was higher on Para for the first 4 months of the year. So obviously trying to be successful punting, we've got to be able to find teams that are value to get on, but you've equally got to recognize when you've got to sell stock. And I'm yelling, sell your Para stock. I think that just that possibility that they've just lost it is worth it laying the points here that, yeah, sure, it could be close and it may cost us, but I'm willing to bet Manly could steamroll them as well. Next best bet, we move to Sunday. I'm taking the Bulldogs plus 9.5. At $1.97 on Bet365. Next best is $1.90 on Unibet. Or take the plus $8.50, $1.90 everywhere else as well. To win by exactly 9 New Zealand is an incredibly rare margin of victory. So plus 8.5 would still be best bet worthy. That's essentially the same as plus 9.5. Why? Because I think the Bulldogs actually aren't that much worse than the Warriors. I think the Warriors' wins in the last couple of weeks has inflated this line. The truth is their opponents were really poor on those days. I know I've talked about the Bulldogs really missing Thompson, and we've won best bets against the Bulldogs the last couple of weeks. At least they get a tiny bit of continuity in the same players playing fullback and in the halves this week as that did last week. And they're another team that's desperate, fighting for a result. This one is not out of their reach. I think Bulldogs can push the Warriors and make it closer than people expect. Finally, the Knights minus 5.5 at $1.81 on Unibet against the Sharks. Sunday afternoon at Redcliffe is my sixth and final best bet of the round. And that is only available on Unibet because every other bookie is at minus 6.5, $1.90, which would still be my lean. You can get minus 5.5, but it's in $1.70s other bookies. I think it's still a solid play, but it's just not what I would take for a best bet. And it's quite simple here as well. I think the Knights have the better pack, more playmakers. They're also more confident after the Sharks let another game slip last week. So I think you've got to lay this, if you can lay even a flat 6, I think would still be best bet worthy as well. I have a full breakdown on all the upcoming 8 games, including what I leaned and the mixed matchup as we shoot for 12 of 13. Olympics is done and dusted. I talked all about that in the recap, so shoot back to the round 21 recap if you want to hear that. But the 10-1 multi did lose by one leg, by one gold medal, 27 to Japan. We needed 26 or under. And I talked about my highlights of the Olympics and other punting highlights and a couple other tips I did share for the Olympics that did get up. Tristan did the same as well, which is interesting from a bookie's perspective. That's all on Sunday's recap. But what we do on Wednesday, what's happened in the past is done. We look forward. Okay, what's really important in the final month of the season, I think, is the top 8 and the top four. So Tristan's actually going to touch on that straight away. There's really four teams that we need to all be conscious are well in the hunt. That's the Titans, Raiders, and Knights particularly, who all have 9 wins at this point. And the Sharkies, who are one further win behind, they have 8 wins. I think clearly 11 wins gets you in. So you're talking about these teams needing to win 2 of the final 4, or in the Sharks' case, 3 of the final 4, or even let's throw New Zealand in there because someone asked in the group, New Zealand could still make the 8, but they would have to win 4 of the final 4. And it's not crazy, although you've heard I've got a best bet against them this week, and it's unlikely. But the other important thing let's just keep conscious of is for and against could play a big part because these teams are in a logjam. And that's important to know when you get a team that's in one of those situations. If they're up, there's motivation to extend a lead. If they're down big, there is real motivation not to give up. You're playing the Storm, you might not think you can beat them, but you might still be fighting to not lose by too many. Although having said that, I am laying the points against the Raiders who are in that scenario, but it's definitely something I have not ignored. Let's actually get even more context on the top 8 and top 4 race from Tristan in our Market Watch segment, as well as he's going to share where the key action has been for round 22. And I asked him especially about the Nathan Cleary scenario, where is he in, is he not, and how do bookies deal with that?
Hello everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're getting towards the back end of the season, 4 rounds left, and the finals race is really heating up. We've got 2 spots left for the top 8, it would seem, and there's 7 teams still possibly able to make it, probably 4 realistically in the running. You've got the Knights now at $1.50, the Titans at $1.60, the Raiders $2.25, and the Sharkies at $2.80. Rough odds about the Warriors, we've got a softish draw there at $14. Big 4-point game here on the last game of the weekend between the Sharks and the Knights. $2.70, the Sharks $1.47, the Knights at the moment as we speak on Wednesday afternoon, and the line's 6.5. So that one's a key one. If the Sharkies want to realistically make the top 8, they need to cause an upset against the Knights, and that will really flip the market upside down. The top 8's also really interesting. We've got 3 teams fighting for that last spot. Manly's $2.15, the Roosters $2.25, and the Eels $5.50. They look pretty secure there a few weeks ago, but their form's really dropped off a cliff, unfortunately, for their fans. So the Manly, despite sitting at 6, are the shortest price commodity in that market as we speak. The biggest move of the weekend in the round ahead has been the Tigers against the Cowboys. Obviously, Jason Taumalolo is not playing. That game opened close to pick 'em. It's now a flat 4 with the Tigers $1.61, the Tigers -4 to cover the spread. That's been the biggest move. The trickiest game from our point of view to price is the Panthers game against the Dragons. 18.5's the line. Obviously, Nathan Cleary on an extended bench again. You have to sort of price the game in a position where you sort of feel, is he going to play or he's not? We've sort of got him 50-50. We're really not sure. Obviously, that game against the Roosters moved pretty hard on the back of him. A late withdrawal, it was 10-4 flat. It moved well after he had he was withdrawn days after the fact as well. So we're still trying to work out a true gauge on where that market sits. I'm not sure if Penrith play him. There's obviously 2 trains of thoughts. Do you rest him up to before your game next week, or do you give him an opportunity to try to find a bit of form in this game and ease through it? And potentially then the line will shift and maybe he doesn't play the last 20 minutes if they got a lead. So it's a very tricky game to assess. We're scratching our heads a little bit. I'm sure the punters are too. So keep an eye on team lists there. Obviously, this end of season big multi that Jacob picked out, the regular season multi, is looking very, very good. We dodged the Olympics multi. I'm not sure we're going to be so lucky here. So it could be a big payday for the Tripod listeners. Obviously, all eyes will be on the Tigers and the teams playing the Dragons over the next little bit. So good luck if you're having a bet over the weekend. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. As he's mentioned there, it's clearly is something I asked him to touch on, and it's a difficult one for me. It's a difficult one for any punter to deal with when it's a really important player. You just don't know at a certain point in time, is he in or is he out? I'm sure they know in Penrith camp, but the rest of us are going to be guessing. But it's a difficult thing for punters too, so keep that in mind. And it reminded me that we did Wide World of Punting. We did 16 episodes last summer. You can go back on YouTube and find those. And I chatted to Tristan about different punting topics every week. And one week, we talked about key players and key player in and out news. And you might be surprised to know, the bookies, just like the rest of us, are following Twitter, are following sports news sources. And if you hear something and you can react quicker than they do, you can profit. And I gave that example last week where, depending on which side you wanted to be on with Penrith Roosters, once you heard the news Cleary was out, there were bookies that had not adjusted their line instantaneously. One other thing Tristan mentioned, the 15-1 multi, which is looking very good. It would be disaster or so cruel if we don't win this one. And it's also crazy that it's a 7-leg multi that could win with a month to go in the season. But something else I wanted to add is that we have over 350 pod followers, Tristan told me, on that. And if it wins, the payout will be in excess of 250K. So that will make us all feel a bit better after we went so agonizingly close to the Olympics multi. Let's zoom through these games. I'll try and go a little bit briefer because I've already shared a best bet on six of them. But Storm are 23.5 point favorites against the Raiders. In fact, 24.5 on most bookies. My best bet is the -$23.5.90 on sports bet. They get back Kalfusi and Asafa Solomona as well. They're going to keep Puppy on the bench while Hines starts. The Raiders have lost Sammy Valame, but Simonson comes in. That's kind of like for like. The Raiders sit in eighth. You wouldn't usually want to lay a huge number against a side that's like potentially a finals side. But I actually just think the way that the ladder is set up and with the remaining draw, this is not the one that Raiders will be circling to win. They don't really need to win this one. And look, they're not going to. Storm have won 17 in a row. It'll be 18. They got a rare test last week against Manly. We actually won our best bet on Manly first half. But like, the Storm wouldn't have minded getting that test. And I actually think, as I said at the top, the fact that the Storm haven't destroyed everybody in their path in the last 3 weeks might actually mean that they might feel that they need to just flex those muscles again on Thursday night. It's a steep line, but I'm laying it. Moving to Friday, the Dragons play the Panthers at Suncorp, and I am going to take Penrith. -$18.5, $2, Ladbrokes and Neds, $1.91, next best on 365 or $1.90 everywhere else. So I'm not really getting any line value here because the market is 18.5 across the board, and I'm not interested in trying to do a mechanical or an alt line when we get to these really big numbers, because it's so variable that you're paying a little bit too much to get through these numbers that are less key, if that makes sense, as opposed to a game that you foresee being tight. Or if you foresee a game being tight and the difference between, say, a -3.5 to a -4.5 is a lot more significant than when you get to like 17.5 to 18.5. So just happy to lay that and expect the Panthers to win by more than 3 converted tries. The Dragons don't have any more bans to serve, but they have lost Tarek Sims and Ramsey to a nasty tooth injury. In come Kerr and Fuimeono. Now Penrith lose Capewell, but you slot Crichton straight back in. They lose Spencer Lenu and Coruscant suspended. So Kenny is in and so is Tevita Pangai Jr. Cleary is the X factor. I discussed that. Like, I think it's a bonus if he's in, basically. I'd still be willing to lay this. Maybe it wouldn't be best bet worthy, but it would still be my lean at 18.5 with no Cleary, if you're telling me, because I saw how well Burton and Luai did running the show last week. And if Cleary's in, he's not going to necessarily be his absolute firing best, but he still, I think, would upgrade the team as well. So whichever way it goes, I mean, if you disagree with me and you're looking at the Dragons, that's a situation where you might be putting your finger on the trigger. The second that Cleary's out, you want to play +18.5 because I think the line will drop, but I'm building that all into my my factors and my risks. So the big reason that it doesn't really matter to me, and this match could kick off on Friday and the line could be 15.5 and we've got a best bet on 18.5, which is not ideal, is because I just think it's a great week to bet against the Dragons. We were on them last week and we won the mixed matchup thanks to their defense. But I feel like that was the last game where they had some hope to make the eight, and now they've lost to the Raiders and now they have no hope. Whereas for Penrith, I just like the trajectory. They're back on. They just feel like they're finding their form again after being really patchy for a couple of months for a number of different reasons. Now, it's probably worth acknowledging Penrith don't have like a strong motivation factor in terms of the ladder. They're not going to drop to fourth. They're realistically not going to catch the Storm. They're a win and a massive points differential behind. So they're going to finish second or third. They're going to play Souths in the finals. But as I said before, it's all about regathering that form. I think they've just got that swagger that they want to regather. And what Penrith were doing in the first couple of months of the season wasn't just winning. It was obliterating teams. It's what I think they could do on Friday night. That's why it's my best bet. Now, the Broncos play the Roosters, and the Roosters are 14.5 point favourites. And I haven't touched this game, but it's an interesting one. The Broncos will lose promising young forward Palacia, but they do get back Flegler. Albert Kelly is going to be back in the team and starting halfback. He had his best game of the season when they beat the Roosters. And if you recall, they were 26-point underdogs at the SCG. Biggest upset of the season. Xavier Coates also gets a game back. Now, for the Roosters, a couple of big losses. Angus Crichton and Waria Hargraves. Now, the Roosters have been decimated by injuries all year. The only reason that, as Tristan said, they're still in the top four hunt is because the players that haven't been injured, some of them have had phenomenal years, and I think Angus Crichton in the forward pack, I think Waria Hargraves has had an underrated massive season, and Manu, who I've shouted out a few times, he's done himself a lot of favours for his next contract negotiations. So they've still got Manu in this one, but Waria Hargraves and Crichton are out. Brisbane don't have as many injuries as the Roosters, but when you factor in they had so much less to start with, they're significantly hampered at this point in terms of who's out. Now, let's talk about the first time these two teams played. If you like Brisbane, you're going to say, well, Brisbane knows how to compete with the Roosters in this matchup. I don't really subscribe to that thinking. I actually think it gives that motivation edge of revenge to the Roosters, and it gives them the blueprint of like what Brisbane did to stop them. And plus, if you actually watched that Brisbane upset, it was just a very strange game in itself. There was a David Mead length of the field intercept try. You guys know how much that swings a game. I talk about that. And there were multiple Roosters sin bins. So it just got away from the Roosters there. Therefore, I think the Roosters should definitely win this. But I'm not convinced they'll blow Brisbane away with the guys that Roosters have out. So the line felt fair to me. I didn't play it. Another game where I have to say the line felt fair was the Rabbitohs playing the Titans. And the line's 16.5. Rabbitohs favourite, even though it should be a Rabbitohs home game, but it's being played at Cbus on the Gold Coast. So the Rabbitohs have named the same 17 that flogged Parramatta. I would argue they're the hottest team in the comp right now. I know that if Souths played Melbourne this weekend, clearly Souths would still be underdogs. But I just mean in terms of how crisp, how sharp, well, there's a good touch that Souths are in. They're looking really, really good and really formidable at the moment. Now, the Titans have only changed their squad with one in terms of one player, and that's bolstering it with Peachy coming back from suspension. And they've been solid. Like, the Titans have won three in a row, so you can't fault them. But they've beaten the depleted Dragons, the Bulldogs, and then a semi-depleted Cowboys. And I think those games are all, if not at the Gold Coast, all in Southeast Queensland. So, like, Gold Coast have done what they needed to do, and that's why we've been on them a couple times. But they haven't, like, this is a different kettle of fish, of course. And it was a pretty interesting matchup when Souths and Gold Coast hooked up earlier this year. If you recall, David Fifita scored a hat-trick in the first half, and the Titans led 24-8 at halftime, looked like they were going to win. The line was Titans plus 6.5. Benji comes on second half and has a masterclass, and the Rabbitohs win 40-30. You don't even cover if you had the Titans after, you know, they got out to that big lead. And so 40-30, that's a classic example of why I started calling the Titans the under-20s Titans in the style of play. So again, you look at the Rabbitohs, they're in a similar boat to Penrith. They're not desperate with ladder position. It's really just about harnessing form, riding the wave that they're on. And for the Titans, a win would be huge. But even if they don't win, which of course is a tall task, it is crucial for them to not get blown out by too much in terms of points differential. They've got a strong points differential, but that could all change. They play the Rabbitohs and they play Melbourne next week. So when I like the way a team looks like the Rabbitohs, I just want to be on them. We were on them last week. That was awesome. This week, I think the line's a bit too high, where I don't think we're getting the value on Souths. But I'm not going to get out in front of them because, like, if Souths win this game big, I won't be surprised. So I think this game's got potential to be entertaining, and that's what I'll be hoping for. But it's a big step up in grade that I can't be confident in the Gold Coast taking the points either, so I pass. But moving to another game where I've got a best bet, I've got best bets in all these remaining games now. Cows play Tigers, line is 4.5, although moving to 4 in places. Best bet plus $4.5, $1.85. So we essentially win the 15-1 season multi with 3 games to spare if the Tigers win this game, because Dragons are most likely going to lose to Penrith, and they're not making the 8 regardless. And the Cows aren't making the 8, and certainly if the Cows can't beat West, then that's basically assured. So we've got a 4.5-point favourite, and we just need them to win. And we cash a 7-leg 15-1 multi that I gave out pre-season. But beware, because if has anyone else been watching Tales of Tiger Town docker like I have, which I think is really fascinating to get a look behind the scenes. And if you watched on Monday, we got a reminder that these two teams met at Leichhardt the weekend right after the death of Tommy Raudonikis, rest in peace. And of course, the documentary will remind you that they were down 28-6 at halftime, and the Tigers were 14.5-point favourites in that one in front of a packed house, who then booed them off at halftime accordingly. So while the Tigers did mount a bit of a comeback second half, they fell short, and that was one of the low points of the Tigers' season. You wonder if that does serve some motivation that they feel they owe the Cowboys one here. Sure, I'm not expecting the Tigers to play a bad game. And additionally, Taumalolo out, and Tristan talked about how that alone has moved the line 4 points. Coincidentally, Taumalolo broke his hand in the lead up to the Tigers game earlier this season. In fact, this is the third time he's had a hand break or fracture this year. So it's a massive out for the Cowboys, as well as Taulagi and Burr both have HIAs and are out. And the Cowboys are going to play Granville and Dejan Arce in the centers, with Molo moving back to starting prop. So like, there's not a lot to like about the Cowboys lineup. And especially when you consider Wes didn't get any injuries or suspensions, and they had a workman-like effort against the Dogs. And one other thing I should say about Wes is they're not theoretically out of the finals. If they win their final 4 games, Tigers could actually make the finals. But the issue for them is they're not all winnable, really. They've still got Manly on the horizon. So let's be honest, it's not happening. But I thought it's worth bringing up because it just reminds you how vital that game they blew against New Zealand a couple weeks ago was. So the Tigers are the better team and should probably be winning this. But as I touched on the top, I don't think they're significantly better than the Cowboys. And I actually do think that desperation factor at home could go a long way in this one. Now, I don't know, I'm not superstitious necessarily, but we've just lost the 10-1 Olympics multi really cruelly. I just don't know if we're going to win our 15-1 that easily, or if the Tigers are going to lose this week and then lose next week to Manly or whatever it is, and make us sweat a couple more weeks before they get us over the line. So, of course, ideal scenario will be a Tigers win by 1-4 points. Let's see how we go. But just in its own merit, I like Cowboys plus 4.5 in this one. And I probably think they got a good chance to register their first win since May. But as I said, ideal is we land on that sweet, sweet middle. Moving to Saturday night, the Seagulls play the Eels at the Sunshine Coast. The line is minus 14.5, I think, everywhere. Oh, it's also a minus flat 14 in some places. But you can still play 13 plus, which is like minus 12.5, $1.83 on Sportsbet and on Top Sport. Manly pushed the Storm last week, quite impressive. They do lose Taniela Paseka, but things have gone from bad to worse for Parramatta, who lose Reid Marnie for the season. So Joey Lussick will come in and fill in, as he has before for Reid when Reid was out previously. But the reason I'm betting Manly in this one is quite similar to my reasons for last week. I've got the side that's really confident and flying, even though the loss last week was about the best loss you can have in losing to the dominant Storm and being competitive. And then I've got Parramatta that's just searching for confidence, and it's really hard to find that confidence when you play against somebody who's really good. So in terms of my opinion on the Eels, I did tip them in the preseason as a 15-1 shot to win the minor premiership. So clearly that's not going to happen 10 weeks in. I think it looked pretty good. And also said that I thought they'd be a top 4 side, which again looked really strong first 3 or 4 months of the season. And it also helped us win quite a few best bets, including we were on them when they beat the Storm, and a lot of people didn't see that coming. And we were on Parramatta as recently as round 16, where they lost on the siren to Penrith in Penrith, but they did cover the line for us. But round 16 is the last time I've touched Parramatta. So I have kind of obviously noticed this trend recently, and I talked about how we've been against them and won really easily the last couple of weeks. I'm just going to keep trying to squeeze a bit more juice out of that orange, because I think that there could still be more in that if this Parramatta team is in a tailspin. I say if because If Parra comes up with a massive performance on Saturday night, it could be close and we could lose. And that's why none of these bets are 100% guarantees, but I just feel there's that likelihood there that Parramatta could let go of the rope. So I'm quite surprised because the exact same thing happened to Parramatta last year. They were really strong all year. It got them to third on the ladder, but they limped into the finals and they went out in straight sets. And now they've let it, like, it looks like the same thing's going to happen again. The only difference is they won't even hang on to a top four spot. So again, on paper, this line probably shouldn't be 14.5. But I'm looking at games this time of year for confidence, cohesion, energy levels, body language. And that's where I think the gap in these teams exists as well. Now, not only will we jump on Manly 13 plus for a best bet, but what I've noticed about Manly games, plenty of them are high scoring, good for overs. You know where I'm going with this. Let's utilize that and let's take Turbo and Co. for our mixed matchup. We'll take Manly to outscore West Tigers this weekend at $2.15. So I actually don't think it'll be hard to convince you guys this week that Manly will score more points than West. And of course, it shouldn't take that much convincing considering how incredibly well we've done this season. I always try and give us, you know, the best chance to win. This is no lock. I kind of talked about Parramatta. There's that unknown. Like, do they have one last big effort in them? And Parramatta actually can be a good defensive side when they're all on the same page. And also the other part of this bet is we don't want Tigers scoring too many. Now, if the Cowboys just fold at home and let the Tigers trample them, that's going to be a problem. But since my best, I have a best bet on Manly, and since I have a best bet against the Tigers, then I'm more than happy to get $2.15 on Manly directly outscoring the Tigers. The market has these sides both at around 30. Tigers a shade under, Manly a shade over. And we get that little bit of extra juicy price because we take on the risk that that it could be they could land on a tied score. But I think it's well worth the risk, as the last 21 mixed matchups have been as well. Moving to Sunday, the Warriors play the Bulldogs. It's a doubleheader at Redcliffe. And I'm taking the Bulldogs plus $9.5.97, as you can see on the screen. So New Zealand lose Kane Evans, Matt Lodge, and Watene's Lesniak all to suspension. Pompey and Tanoa Brown come in. For the Dogs, they've got suspensions as well. Dylan Napa, Jack Hetherington are out. But they get some reinforcement. Ryan James and Corey Horsberg have both been loaned in from the Raiders. And I think that'll give them a little energy boost. Now, the thing about the Bulldogs is they're the most limited attacking team in the comp, which was nice last week when we had a best bet against them because they're just so non-threatening. It's going to be frustrating this week because now we're on them. But what they've got going for them is, like, they've been so inconsistent in who starts at fullback, who starts in the halves every week. At least this week, they once again go with Meany, Biondi Odo, and Avarillo in those key positions 1, 6, 7. Plus the lone players to bolster the forward pack somewhat make up for the guys who are suspended and Thompson, who's also still suspended, while the New Zealand pack is not the strongest because of their suspensions this week. You know, New Zealand has to win to stay mathematically in the finals hunt, and it's really impressive that they're still in it because they've won these games last 2 weeks as underdogs. But I think that says a lot about how bad the Tigers were 2 weeks ago and how bad the Sharks were last week. So cover your ears, Alexi, because I'm on the Dogs this week. I'll take them, even with a 9.5. I was hoping to get 10, 10.5. Couldn't get there, but still strong enough for me at 9.5. I have a feeling it will be ugly, but I also have a feeling not many punters want to be on the Dogs. That's why we find value, because we will back them. Finally, the Sharks play the Knights. The Knights are 6.5-point favorites. And for the Sharks, Chambers is dropped. Now, my quick opinion on Chambers, with all the sledging, look, it's not classy, but he's not out there trying to be classy. He's out there trying to get an edge and win. And I get all that. But like, he's mouthing off at Walker in a game where they're getting flogged by Manly. He's mouthing off at half the Warriors side in a game that they're choking as a favorite. It seems evident that Will Chambers is not the same player he was. And so he's like, you know, kind of desperately trying to cling on to edges in other ways. And maybe if the Sharks beat the Warriors last week, you could make a case. He rope-a-doped Evans into a sin bin. And they won the game, and you applaud the veteran move. But the fact that they didn't get the result, I don't know, it just comes across a little bit desperate. And I think Hannay agrees because he's dropped Chambers this week. Talakai moves to centre, who's the more threatening player. I mean, if you're the opposition, I think you prefer it's Chambers over Talakai. And you should always do what your opposition doesn't want. So good news for Sharks, they didn't get any other injuries or suspensions. And this, of course, is a huge game. That's quite obvious with these two teams jostling to make the eight. Now, the Knights had a bit of a scare. Best had to go to hospital for a shoulder check, but apparently he's fine. He's going to play. And they rested Jaden Brayley last week, and that's going to pay off because they won, and now he comes in a bit more fresh. They have lost Fitzgibbon. Connor Watson will start at lock, but most importantly for the Knights, Mitchell Pearce returned last week, got through the game, returning from that hammy, and he'll be good to go. So what I feel the difference is in these games is the Knights have the better playmakers. They're picking their first choice 1, 6, 7, 9. I think that's the first time they've actually been able to do that this whole year. And just more X factor about the Knights, like a Kalen Ponga, best who I referenced, Mitchell Pearce and what he does. And you look at the hooker battle, the two brothers, I think Jaden is the better player than his younger brother, Blake. So I think we've got a few edges there across the board for the Knights, as well as a stronger forward pack. That's why I'm taking them for a best bet. And that summarizes all 8 games. That summarizes my 6 best bets and the mixed matchup. So that's the lot for tonight, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Please let me know what you thought or add any other angles or opinions or thoughts or tips you've got for round 22. Let's just keep this thing rolling. Appreciate your support. Please hit like. Please give a comment and get involved. And look, I'll be sharing the multis if there's any multis tomorrow or the day after. On the Tripod app and in the Tripod Facebook group. But as always, gamble responsibly. Lego.